You are now listening to Ride With Me, the Flatarity Podcast.
Welcome to Ride With Me, episode 107. Today is February 4th, 2024. And today the podcast went mobile to Ricky's house because he doesn't come over anymore.
Hey guys, how's it going? Glad to be back on the podcast. It's been a minute.
It's been a minute. And honestly, dude, I got desperate, bro. People been flaking on me, man. I had like an ex-PD that was going to come on and somebody from Virginia and multiple times. So the wife said, we're going to go hang out with Ricky and his wife and the baby. Taking the podcast mobile, baby.
Yeah.
So we have a pretty shitty setup right now.
You know, it took a while for us to actually get it going, but you know what? For it being the first time, I think it's going to go out pretty well.
I don't know why, but I had audio issues right now for the past...
half hour.
Half an hour?
Yeah, half hour.
We've been struggling with the audio for the past half an hour. Because we've been trying to go. I was talking to Ricky and George, a couple of guys. My brothers were really pushing for me to go video podcast. Mm-hmm. And so if I want to do video podcast, I don't want to have the microphone all up on my face. I kind of like this distance.
The distance is good for sure.
So I want the camera to capture my voice, my lips moving, my mouth moving. So it's like I don't really feel like having the microphone all up to my face. And I notice that sometimes when you podcast or I have guests, they're a good foot from the microphone. They sound fine. And with me, I'm like, hey, lo, ¿cómo estás? I don't want to have to do that. I'm like, they can do it, so I should be able to do it too. So we've been struggling for the past half an hour, but is what it is. We're here now. We are in Ricky's garage.
This time, yeah. We just traded garages, all it was.
That's all we did, man. So what's going on with this freaking... And as I'm setting up the podcast, this guy's swinging his club and almost hits me in the freaking face.
Yeah. No, I have a... I'm a pretty big golfer, and I have a golf simulator set up in my garage. So, I mean, Andy's Mr. Yeah, that's what captures, and it has
the movement, right? Garmin.
Yeah. So it's on my phone. It's an app, and so it can track all your shots, and you can actually play virtual courses on your phone.
Honestly, dude, I don't mind coming here and doing this instead of making myself look like a fool at the golf course. I'm down if you want.
Yeah, hey, we can bring the cameras in still, so you can still look like a fool. You know. Andy was setting up, so I'm like, there's not really much for me to do. He's just
plugging shit away. Yeah.
I was like, yeah, let me just kind of get a couple swings.
I know when you said yes, bro, I went into the garage. I took two microphones off. I took the mixer. I took the recorder. I brought an extension cord just in case. And I'm like, fuck it, let's go. I've been itching to podcast, bro.
No, I know. And you know what, dude? I'm really glad you did, because I know you've been definitely calling me like, hey, dude, you know. And I really wanted to. Obviously, it's just some life changes. So I was like, just give me time. It'll go back to normal. I was like, just give me some.
Bro,
give me a second.
You're a full-time daddy. There is no normal. Yeah.
Well, dude, I mean,
you're gonna be distracted up until you can get a cup, raise it in the air, and your kid's gonna come up to you and refill it.
That's. I'm hoping by next year that's the case.
So, as we all know, Ricky, Officer Ricky, is now a official daddy.
Yeah. No, I had my little girl. Everyone came out good. Mom was good. My wife and the baby on December 21st, she was born. And yeah, you know what? She's been generous to us. Because obviously I hear all the horror stories. And even with my sister's first baby, he wakes up like every hour. Even now he's 6 months. And
yeah.
A 45-minute hour naps. I'm like, oh man, that sounds fucking terrible. You know, I'm like, oh, but you know, it is what it is. I'm like, it's just temporary. But you know what? She's been generous to us. So I'm hoping the terrible twos don't make up for it. Because I heard that's what, like, oh, if your baby's easy when they're newborns, that, you know, it's ten. Like they make up for it when they get their terrible twos. I'm like, oh.
Well, the rumor is that if you were bad to your parents, that kid's gonna be 10 times worse. So,
yeah,
and remember, your parents do listen to the podcast, yeah, bro. Yeah, so don't go and lie, bro.
I wouldn't say I was damn. Well, I was bad as a teenager, but as a kid, you know what? I was pretty safe, to be honest. But our problem was Betty was bad, my wife. So It's a good 50-50 at this point.
All right. Well, let's get you in the process, man. From the moment it's time to go to the hospital.
Oh yeah. So
to the delivery room.
Yeah. So my wife and I. So as you guys know, my wife and I did in vitro fertilization, IVF. So, we did the implantation and everything, and then when it came to the actual, she was actually technically due on December 25th. That's what they were telling us, Christmas. But we elected to do a induction ourselves. So pretty much the doctors induced Bethy, so that way the baby can come, because our doctor's pretty much hinting like, hey, the hospital staff around Christmas is really low, you know, so if you guys may need something with the baby, might have some needs, the staff might be pretty low around the holidays. So, you know, and then she was like, you know, she did early inductions. There was no problem. We did research on it, and yeah, there was no benefit. There was no added risk. Everything is a risk, obviously. So we did that. We scheduled. So we had a scheduled induction on the 20th, so the day before. So we came in on the 19th at night at like 9 p.m. or some shit like that. Next morning, they induced Bethy. And then at like 9 p.m. on the 21st, she was born. She was born right there. She was 7.5 pounds, 21 inches long. And yeah, she was healthy. You know, everything was going really well. So I cut the umbilical cord. It's funny, my brother-in-law was like, man, those scissors suck, dude. Like, it's like really rubber. So I was ready. Like, I struggled through it. It was just one snip.
Done.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah, those scissors are sharp, bro.
Yeah, I was like, I guess he had faulty ones. I don't know.
So, yeah, they're not in the store.
Yeah, because he's like, oh, it's all rubber. He's like, it's like the kid ones. I was like, oh, I don't know, dude. They probably didn't trust you. You know? So, yeah, and then that was it, dude. They sent us into our room, and it was pretty much just us, and the staff was really good. I mean, Bethy's mom and her tia all work at the hospital, Huntington Hospital. Shout out to them. And no, they definitely took care of us. You know, the doctor did really well. The only crazy part with everything was that when Bethy was close to giving birth, the doctor knew because of, I forget what it was. There was something in her medical history that increased the chance of her to hemorrhaging after birth or during birth. So the doctor being, you know, well versed in that, she kind of already had that set out. So they had a hemorrhaging cart outside of our room on standby. So they had her blood ready, all the medication necessary. She started doing all the blood clots and everything and to slow everything down so that way, again, so she's not bleeding out anymore. So, yeah, they had all that outside waiting for the just in case. And sure enough, you know, that's kind of what happened, you know. And before I get a little ahead of myself too, you didn't tell me this, but did you know that the doctors don't do anything until the very end?
Well, I mean, I fucking almost passed out the second time.
Yeah,
but,
but what you do remember?
I mean, what I do remember, the doctor was pretty much doing most of the... She was the one standing right there ready to catch, but...
No, our doctor was literally outside the door. And it was me and one nurse doing everything else.
Times have changed, bro. Hey, these nurses want to be doctors. Sink or swim, baby. Yeah. Sink or swim.
Yeah, so Bethy even now, she's like, where's our doctor?
I mean, but there's been cases where, like, the mother's on her way to the hospital, and they can't hold it, and they pull over, yeah. And the husband, you know, that it just happened, was it last week? On the 60 and the 605 connection, yeah. The husband pulled over and had to deliver his own baby.
Nice.
So that baby was born on the bike trail. Yeah. Hell yeah. Almost.
Yeah, no, the nurse was like, oh, the doctors just catch. And then they do everything afterward, but they don't, for during the whole pushing part, they're like, just at the very end. And yeah, literally, yeah, like at the very end, she just, you know, caught the baby. And
they work for 5 minutes and get paid for $1,000. Damn, we're in the wrong business,
that's
bro.
That's insane. So... But no, she earned it afterwards, I'll tell you that. Because, so me and the nurse were doing everything. Eventually, the doctor came in, probably like halfway through. And just like I said, she kind of just caught it. And then, you know, she's like, oh, look, at you know, the placenta came out. And as soon as the placenta came out, because she was like, oh, do you want to see the placenta? So Bethy and I, we just looked at it. You know, it's just like a flank steak, you know. And then I guess that's when like, she starts bleeding. So then she throws the placenta just like on like the cart that's that they have.
Yeah.
Throws it, and right away just like
to work.
Goes straight to work for almost a full hour.
You were about to be a single dad, bro.
Yeah, yeah. I was just like, fuck, dude, am I on the will? You know? I was already making it on the phone, like, all right, change everything to I'm the beneficiary, you know? So, now she, for a full hour, and, you know, they're trying to track Bethy with the baby. They're like, oh, look at your baby. She's so pretty, you know, this and that. And then, you know, Bethy's asking for a Gatorade, so I'm giving her Gatorade. And then, like, I'm looking at the nurses there, when everyone's kind of just, like, staring. I'm like, everyone, you can tell. Everyone has their poker face on.
Yeah.
Everyone. It's like obvious.
So they were keeping her distracted so she wouldn't panic.
Yeah, and then Beth looks at me and is just like, is a lot of blood? I'm like, nah, you're good. I'm like, no, mama. I was like, fuck.
What did I get myself into?
When does it stop?
Hey, yeah. Man, after thinking about it, baby wasn't that worth it.
Yeah. I was like,
we can go without it.
I was like, yo, just send me your pin codes, your bangs, because you know, it for a second, it did get a little scary because the doctor was just like, it was just like endless blood that was just coming out. I'm like, fuck. And she's like, but she was on it. You know, she stayed calm. She was like, all right, give me that medicine now. I need it here. All right, get this and that. So they did everything. They brought the hemorrhaging cart in, and right away they like I said they were spot on. You know, yeah. If we had to wait for all that, it probably I mean.
Damn, that plane was loud.
Yeah, I don't know how much of a difference it would have made, but I'm gonna assume probably it would have been a big difference if that hemorrhaging cart wasn't already ready.
Yeah, you know, so they were ready, so they knew what's
that's
up.
That's why, like, you know, but that's why Bethy really wanted and trusted her doctor for that reason. She's just really good at what she does.
Well, you know what's funny? Because it's like, I always say that. We went to so Letty had surgery, obviously, 10 days before your baby was born. Mm-hmm. And they didn't even let me in there with her. It was just her. Like, you know, they called her in before that. As they're prepping her, I couldn't even be there with her. And, but now it's like, it sounds like your doctor was on top of things, because over here they're giving her medications. She's like, I get blood clots, motherfuckers, and you guys are giving me medication that did you guys not read my information?
Yeah.
I mean, it seems like lately the hospital that we're going to, bro, has been dropping the ball, man. It's like, yeah. I had a snap at the, so when Letty went to go get, prepped for, I think they did some kind of like little minor surgery, mm-hmm. to prep for the big surgery.
Okay.
They didn't even put the IV in her hand, like in a vein.
Oh, yeah.
And she told me that she kept on rubbing her arm because it was burning. And she was like, it's burning, man. And she kept on rubbing her arm. And she Googled it after we got home. That shit could have killed her, bro. That shit could have killed her. So when it was time for the big surgery, they called her in. And let you can see the wife, you know, these girls don't like confrontations. So, can you guys please make sure that you guys put her IV in an actual vein this time? Mm-hmm. And he was like, what? I'm like, yeah, you guys fucked up last time. You guys did not put her IV in a vein. She was in pain the entire time.
Yeah.
And, you know, get it together, bro.
Yeah.
And he's like, I will make sure that it gets taken care of. And, yeah, no, the wife said that multiple times, that same doctor, that same nurse. How are you doing, Mrs. Martinez? Are you okay, Mrs. Martinez? Is the IV? And he kept on like, the nurses there assumed that this doctor was related to my wife because of how constantly he was checking up on her.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and making sure that he's telling the nurses to make sure that they're doing everything right. So they thought that the nurses like, is that your like your uncle or something?
Oh, really?
She's like, no, because I got on him, dude. I'm like, how the fuck do you miss a vein? Like, that's the first thing you learn in medical school.
I mean, you would think.
Yeah. To find your own fucking vein.
Yeah.
And I was not happy. And I told her, I'm going to fucking say something. She's like, Andy, I'm going to say something.
No, you need to, you know. And there was a lot of videos like that, because obviously Bethy liked to watch these videos leading up, like, what to expect, what to do and shit. And even some of the sisters, you know, when they would kind of give me advice, like, hey, the doctors are going to do X, Y, and Z. They're going to be like, on their own plan. You know, just don't be afraid to speak up.
Yeah.
Just because they're doctors, you know. You doesn't mean you have to just abide 100% by what they want to do and what they say. You know,
yeah.
At the end of the day, you know, that one of her sisters were saying that, you know, I'm to look after, you know, Bethy and the baby at that point.
Yeah, again, exactly.
Bethy's the one going through everything. She can't, you know, think of all the other stuff going on. She has to focus on just, you know, labor and delivering, you know, a baby safely.
Exactly.
You know, so luckily though, I didn't need to do anything. You know, at the end, or at least I didn't need to speak up. I did a lot, but I didn't need to speak up because the doctor looked. She was very thorough. Betty trusted her, and they talked about it a lot when we go to our hospital or the visits to check on the babies and everything. So she would talk to her. She was like, oh, well, like, what's your plan? And she was like, doctor, I trust you, whatever you think is best.
Yeah.
And she was like, okay, yeah, this is what I suggest, but based on your history. And then even at the hospital, she looks and goes, oh, you have a history of, I don't remember what it was. I think it was like cyst in the uterus or in the uterus. So she was like,
oh, I'm sorry, man. I keep showing you. I didn't want to say it out loud. Just get the microphone and kind of turn it a little bit like this, the wheel. Yeah, right there. Turn your with the bubble, the light your way.
Oh, my way?
Yeah, because you sound really low, bro.
Really? Okay.
There you go.
Okay, there we go.
There it is.
So she had a lot of... So in her history, I guess it showed that she has a cyst in her uterus. I think that's what it was. I forget what the actual technical term is. She's like, oh, you have a history of this, so... that increased your chance of hemorrhaging. So she's like, you know, we'll have this on standby just in case.
Yeah, yeah.
And so they ordered her blood and everything. So, you know, it felt good. Like I said, especially because she did start to hemorrhage out for that hour that she's working on her. We're like, man, you know, to my wife, you know, her doctor saved her life.
Yeah.
You know, that's how she sees it. And I'm, you know, like, yeah, I mean, obviously things could have gone sour, you know, in a moment's notice for her to be prepared and ready, you know. Yeah, you could definitely see that. Yeah, she probably did save her life. So, you know, she definitely trusts her. And because she also did her ectopic pregnancy surgeries where she had to remove her fallopian tubes. So she already had prior.
Oh, so that's the same doctor. Yeah. That she's...
And that's why she's stuck with her ever since. She's okay. She saved my life right when her tube burst ruptured and no one caught it besides her. So she's like, ever since then, she's like, nope, you're my doctor.
Yeah.
And so when this thing happened again, she caught like, oh, yeah, you have an increased... possible hemorrhaging. So Church is like, no, I can't see another one. And now she's bummed that she's actually gonna retire. So she's like,
fuck. You guys had kids too late, bro.
Yeah. So now she's kind of bummed. But I mean, at the end though, luckily everything worked out well. The baby was very healthy. You know, Bethy was, after the hemorrhaging portion, you know, recovered very well.
Yeah.
Actually, she's back to work already. You know, so.
Only what, 2 months later?
Like a month.
She's not going to do the baby bonding time?
Like a month and a half. No, she wants to save it for the next round. That's why. Because her doctor's retiring in like a few years.
Oh.
She wants to now kind of like push it a little bit.
So
like,
the second baby is going to be the favorite.
I don't know.
That's what it sounds like, bro.
I don't know.
That's what it sounds like, dude. Yeah. She doesn't want to bond with this one, wants to bond with the second one.
Yeah.
Pretty fucked up, dude.
Yeah, so she's going to do that, and because it comes from our time, so she has to save our time so she can spend more time with a toddler and a newborn.
Yeah.
So that's the plan right now. And so,
when are you guys planning on having that second one?
I don't know, probably towards the end of like the year.
I say implant her with the moment the baby hits 6 months.
I think that's like her plan.
Because that way they'll be like Nick and JoJo, dude.
Well, I think that's the plan. Like she's trying to do it like almost like Irish twins type thing.
Yeah, dude. So. Try to see if you guys can knock them. I mean, you guys have the paying for the technology, bro. I mean,
well, they're already there. You know, like I said, the embryos are already there, and they're just waiting to literally get defrosted and implanted.
Dude,
that's
6 months, boom. Well, and they'll be right there, bro. They'll be 6 months apart, just like the boys. Mm-hmm. You know, every 6 months you'll have a little. Instead of having like a birthday in February or December and then like another one in January. Oh God, here, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
At least it gives you time to save money for the next, you know, 6 months. You know, because like with us, dude, JoJo is he's gonna turn 15 actually in 2 days, and he you know, the wife decided to do a party for him like on the fives, like 5, 10, 15, whatever. Because the last time we had a birthday party for him was when he turned 10. We went all, you know, Letty had a whole Koopa Piñata or Bowser Piñata, like a whole theme of Mario Land in the driveway, and this time she's thinking that he wants a wrestling ring on the front yard, bro.
Nice show.
We looked it up, bro. To rent a wrestling ring is $500. Nino Ricky.
Steven, where you at, my boy?
Yeah, freaking he wants a wrestling ring. I fucked up. I got him on to wrestling. But
that's good though, man.
What do you call it? No, yeah, man. Freaking That's my suggestion to you, bro. That way they're like right there next to each other, man.
That's like, kind of what she wants too. She doesn't want. She kind of has the same philosophy. She's like I want, like, once they're done with diapers, they're done with diapers. You know, so they're always going to school at the same time. Like me and my sisters, when in high school, we're 3 years apart. So when she was a senior, I was a freshman. I had her for 1 year.
Yeah.
Same thing with my youngest sister. We're also 3 years apart. So when I was a senior, she was a freshman. So we just got that 1 year where they get to kind of grow. And I was like, I don't know. I kind of like that though. I kind of like being. Building your own, not like, I don't say no one's in their shadow, but if one is more outgoing than the other one, I can see where like that sibling that doesn't allow themselves to shine because they're in the shadow of someone else.
What do you call it? Like Roger's the one that tells me, he's like, dude, those boys are so, my boys are so close. Like they, like for example, let's say that Nick doesn't want to go on the visit. It's which is where they are right now. I have them on Life 360, so I know where they're at. if Nick says, no, I don't want to go, Georgia's like, deuces, my brother doesn't want to go. I don't want to go.
Yeah.
Nick went to band. Georgia's in band. Nick's doing track. Now Georgia's in track. So it's like they're real close to each other that they do kind of everything together. It's going to suck once Nick graduates high school and because then Georgia's going to be running the school by himself, right? But Nick's like, nah, I'll be there to see him perform. I'll see him doing his track thing, you know. So they're, even though they're only, technically a year and a half apart, but they're 2 years apart in school. So, I mean, but they're still there. Like me and Alex were 4 years apart. So when I was a senior, if I ever got to senior, he was barely a freshman. So
as you were leaving, he was coming in.
Yeah, mentality. Because, I mean, that's how far. And then Danny and I are. Even though we didn't grow up together, even if that's the case, though he was 6 years, I was 6 years older than him. So So honestly, dude, the boys right now, the way everything was timed with them, it was perfect, man.
That's good.
Like I said it before, but even the times they were born, bro. JoJo was born at, I think like 12:44 in the afternoon, and Nick was born at 6:22 in the evening. Like the 6:12.
Yeah,
you know, 22, 44. It's a trip, man. They're 6 months apart, and it's a trip with that. But I really recommend it, bro. Yeah, you see the boys, bro.
My only concern sometimes, though, like again, like I do like it for that, right? Like for that scenario, right? Like that. Hopefully, that does happen.
Yeah.
But then I think two people that were very close that we know very well, where they're also close, and one was in the shadow.
Right.
You know what I mean? And now look at where that person's at. They're complete opposites.
Yeah.
You know, one thriving very well. Other one is like, you know what I mean? And it's because that person felt like he was always in the shadow.
But I keep saying, bro, it's I've learned in therapy is how we were raised.
Yeah.
You know, at the same time, I'm sure he had his reasons to be in the shadows. I mean, let's say, for example, if I'm Nick, right? I put my life on hold and do everything Nick wants, you know, take him to Taylor Swift concerts and this and that and blah, blah, blah. And then JoJo, well, what about me, dude? I think Nick kind of feels that way right now because JoJo and I do everything. Like, JoJo got into wrestling. Okay, fuck it. Let's watch it, you know?
Because you really liked it.
We watch it. And then I guess Nick last weekend was talking to the wife and he was like, I don't know. I don't have that connection with Dad. You know, and I don't, you know, we don't bond or anything like that. So the wife had to remind him, your dad went and got bikes. You stopped using it. Your dad went and got baseball gloves. You're no longer into it. Mm-hmm. He went and got basketballs. He went and got hockey sticks, rollerblades. He did everything in his power to do stuff with you. You guys don't have anything in common. He's told you now about wrestling. You don't want to watch it. You know, so don't try to classify Dad as a bad father because he's tried.
Yeah, and I wouldn't say he's trying to classify as a bad dad. I think he's just saying that he does that there's just that disconnect that you guys don't have something where it's your guys's.
Yeah.
Which, when I was watching this video, that it's important to have, right, where with each of your kids, like if you have 1, 2, 5, 10, that at least you guys have something, you know, in common. Like there was a video I saw recently where this mom, because the newborn, so she has an older daughter that's like, I think she's like four, and a newborn, like a one-year-old kid, a son, but he always wants to be in mom's hands.
Yeah.
So it takes away time a lot. So what she does is at night when she puts the kid down, or when every time he takes a nap, but usually like because he sleeps longer at night now, that's when she'll do stuff with her daughter. You know, she'll play with the daughter at night so that way she knows that, hey, you know, you're not left out. You know, you're still getting, you know, mom's time.
Yeah.
You know, mommy still loves you, stuff like that. So I think that was important to kind of, for me when I saw that, I was like, okay, because obviously no matter what, I do want more kids. I don't know about four, so Bethy wants. You know, we'll see eventually, right? As time goes, only time will tell. But I know eventually I for sure do want more kids, and whatever the number ends up being, that I have to find something, right?
It's at the at the end of the day, you know, these kids are going to be kind of like, they're going to have their own mentality mm-hmm. at a certain time. Yeah. So, you know, it's like, for example, our mother-in-law, you know, one day she called herself a bad mom. And I'm like, why? Because your kids don't like to go to church? Uh-huh. I mean, that just means that when they were kids, you shoved it down their throat so much that now as adults, they don't feel that they have to do it. Uh-huh. The point I'm making is that I feel the same way. I feel like we're on the boys about doing, you know, like the laundry at home. Like they're responsible for they help with the laundry or washing dishes or whatever, that I feel that one day we're going to have that mentality. Like, fuck, did we fail these kids? Because uh-huh. no matter what you do as a parent, it can backfire.
Yeah, 100%.
You know, like, for example, I told you know, because they complain about going to their confirmation class, uh-huh. right? So I was like, okay, well, when you guys are adults, you guys can make up your own mind. But as long as you guys are kids, you guys are going to do what we say. Yeah, so yeah. You guys, you know, and that's what the wife side was. It means they're going to hate church. I'm like, guess what? We're shoving it down their throats.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, I feel like...
Do they believe?
Yeah.
Do they believe? Yeah, they believe. But we're shoving it down their throat in reality.
You're fine. I 100% to what you said, too, you know? And I think it's just... That's when creative parenting comes in, right?
Oh shit!
God, dude, learn to drink water.
I went down the wrong hole.
God, dude,
go.
You're a
shit.
Hey, relax, dude. It's a water bottle. It's not what you're used to.
Oh shit. We're doing good. We're doing so good, dude.
God, dude, don't breathe in when you're drinking water.
All right, go for it,
dude. It's a water bottle, dude.
See, guys, this podcast is not scripted.
No, but all I was saying, are you going again? You're risking it again?
I'm good.
What I was going to say was that I think that's when creative parenting comes in, right, where you find things that are trying to make everyday tasks somewhat a little bit more enjoyable. I mean, it's hard, right? Like, for instance, Bethy loves, you know, doing yard work because for her and her dad, that was their little bonding thing. That's what she enjoyed doing with her dad growing up. For me, as you were saying, my dad and I did yard work all the time as a kid, and I hated it.
Yeah.
And it was only because when it'd be hot as shit, and we lived in Somar, so it was a valley, so it got more hot mm-hmm. than it is here. And, you know, I'd ask, like, hey, how come they're – because I'm thinking, like, okay, if the girls are here helping, like, you know, my two sisters, then this would go by a lot faster, and we'd be in it a lot faster. So I'd always ask him, like, well, why can't the girls also help out? He's like, no, the girls don't do yard work. And I hated that. I'm like, so just because I'm a guy, I got to fucking be out here doing this shit? So now I hate yard work. Like, I don't want to, like, I'd rather just pay someone. I don't give a shit. I hate yard work. I don't want
to
touch
it. Yeah, it took you guys about a minute or two to open the door this morning, earlier. I was like, damn, those plants went to shit.
Hey, so you can tell. I allegedly married someone with a green thumb. I have yet to see it. I got falsely advertised, all right?
Get your money back, bro.
Yeah.
Get your money back.
So, you know, that's why I'm like, I don't, but shit, I told her, like, look, I don't do yard work, all right? Yeah. Like, you know, I'll do a bunch of other things, you know, but that ain't it.
When my brother Danny comes around, he likes to make himself useful. He'll go to the backyard. He'll start pulling weeds. Uh-huh. So what I've been on it, bro. I'm making sure that the backyard don't get any weeds because, you know, I should be the one doing it. But he says that to him is therapy.
Yeah.
You know, so I hacked away his therapy. So when he comes over, there will be no therapy. You know, he also said that my grandpa would always make him help him wash his rig. And so one day, he's washing our cars. I'm like, dude, what's up, man? No, you don't have to do that. He's like, no. It's therapy for me. It's therapy for me. Even though, you know, our grandfather made him freaking do it as a kid, now as an adult, kind of like what you said with Betty, it's a, it reminds him of, you know, our grandfather.
And she so said to the same him, thing. It's like her little therapy.
Yeah, so it's therapy. Like with me, this is therapy, freaking playing Call of Duty's therapy, freaking, you know, stuff like that. So, like, but no, I went in the backyard and fuck, it started hacking away, bro. Yeah,
but that's why I say, you know, I think it's just, it's difficult, right? It's not easy to make everyday chores or tasks fun, you know? But that's, again, I think that's where somewhat of creative parenting kind of comes in, where you learn about your kids and you try to find out, hey, how can I make this somewhat a lesson or enjoyable?
Right.
So that way, again, to the point to where, yeah, not at the end of the day, they got to do it regardless. And it's not going to be like, oh, this is as fun as playing basketball. But it's like, hey, you know, this is our little bonding moment. And, you know, I mean, again, I don't have the answer how to do it. But I know that I'm going to at least try and think of a way that I can make it somewhat enjoyable. Well, not enjoyable, but at least like acceptable for them.
Well, I was shocked that Nick about like a month ago, out of the blue, he just said, "Dad, we should go fishing. It's just us." And I'm like, "All right, Nick, Jojo, you're out of it, asshole."
Well, you know what I think it is too, though, a lot. And I don't know why when you said that. Oh, well, because fishing, actually, that's why you mentioned it. Is like I told Betty, I'm like, I know you don't really like to, like Betty, I'm like, I know you don't like to go camping, but like when I was younger. Camping was huge for, like, we would always go on a yearly camping trip, you know. Yeah, we go with other family, like where my like we had this other family on our cul-de-sac that we were really close with because we went to school with them. They were around the same age as all three of us,
right?
So, you know, we all had our little friend in that family. So it was, you know, three kids, so around the same age, so it was pretty perfect. You know, they had two boys and a girl, so my sisters and them would play with their girl. They're around their, she was a year and a half older than me, so her and my older sister go along and they'd be with Jasmine, and I played with the two boys. So we would go camping though all the time, and it was fun, you know. And you learn, it's again different life skills that you definitely learn.
It's funny you say that Betty doesn't like camping. Neither does Letty, bro. But
none of them do, besides Steven.
Yeah, well, none of them do. Letty actually was like, "When are we gonna go camping?" Like, she's actually asked. Like, she's seen this, like, pretty cool tent on TikTok and everything. Mm-hmm. Like, "You want that tent?" She goes, "I'll go camping if we get this tent." All right, Google it. $1,000? Yeah, you're buying that tent.
Yeah.
I'm okay with my little tent on the ground. You want that one? $1,000? Knock yourself out.
Well, that's what I told Bethy, you know. She was like, "As long as it's comfortable and I have, you know, somewhere to shower." And yeah. I'm like, "I can give you half of that stuff." You know? I don't want, because again, I'm not a big fan into like RVs or motorhome stuff like that.
I don't feel that's camping though. Like, it's not. I don't think so, man. I don't take it as camping. We do when we go camping. We like to go Lake Casitas. Lake Casitas has a river, like a lazy river, mm-hmm. like a little theme park, water park.
Okay.
So you can't go in the lake. So you go, you know, we get there Friday, make dinner, set up, make dinner, and then Saturday morning we'll spend the entire day at the little river. Halfway through lunchtime, we'll have sandwiches in the car.
Yeah, yeah.
And then get back in and spend pretty much from the moment they open to the moment they close.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what we like to go to Lake Casitas. And then also, the camping site that I like is always where the restrooms are. The restrooms have
good.
Like I would say like eight showers.
Uh huh.
So you have your showers. So I always like to go there. The mistake we made last time was when we went during the week, so the park was empty.
Oh,
it was dark. It was dark, bro. You can see two little eyes in the freaking woods and
yeah,
shit.
Yeah,
I'm
yeah.
like, "Oh, that's a fucking coyote." Oh, you know, so. But, yeah. We haven't gone in a minute, dude. I know the boys want to go. I know Letty wants to go. So, it's fun, bro. And it's fun with more families. It's just us four. It's like, we can just do this in our front yard.
Yeah. No, I mean, well, that's what it leads to, too. Is like, we used to do that. Like, if obviously schedules didn't make it, then, my parents and I, not often, usually we'd go with at least another family, but we'd go just camping, just, you know, us five, you know, just out there for a weekend, you know, if no one else couldn't make it around, you know, the times that we would go, because whatever other reason, especially because I have my basketball schedule, so it's very sporadic, you know, so we would do that. And again, it, you know, I liked it. I thought it was just fun, you know, because I knew, like, okay, cool, no camping, we're going to do this, and this. I'm sure the guys are different. I mean, the girls liked it too.
Yeah.
You know, they, you know, but again, we would do like the real camping tent, you know, on the floor.
Yeah. Yeah, you know? But the one thing, the last time we went camping, though, the wife's like, if we're going to go camping, I'm taking this. I'm like, the fuck? Bro, she bought a, like, 30 by 60 freaking tent. Tarp. And it covered the entire parking, like the entire campsite.
Damn.
We parked our cars on top of this tent, bro. That if we were to stretch that tarp out at the front yard of the house, it would cover the entire yard.
Why?
If that tree wasn't in the way in the middle, it would cover the entire freaking.
But why?
Just dirt? Not to be on dirt. Yeah. Oh. To be on dirt. Okay. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, again, hey, you make do with what you got.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, if that's what's going to make you comfortable, like I said, if. Beth is like, oh, I want a bed or whatever. I'm like, I mean, I told him, like, what my parents used to do when it was just, even when we went to family, it was like, because sometimes some spots didn't have the showers or we didn't like the showers, then we would just, on the last day that we were going to go, we would just rent a hotel for that day just to shower, kind of clean ourselves up, and then go out, you know?
Yeah.
Again, it's excessive. You don't have to do that. But I'm like, if that's what you want, I can rent a nearby cheap hotel just so you can shower, or if you don't like what's going on, you can go to the hotel and fucking sleep in the bed there.
Yeah, I mean, I'll pick you up in the morning.
Yeah. You know, I'm like, I don't care. You know, like I just want that, like stuff like that for kids. I feel like is important, yeah. And it's definitely fun.
Well, I think we just planned it our camping trip, bro.
Yeah.
I got like 4 tents, bro. I mean, you wouldn't have to buy anything, just maybe an air mattress. But I have.
Yeah, I have air mattress.
Oh. Pfft. Let's go. We'll make fun of Roger for sleeping in the car.
Yeah. You know, I actually did that one time because I got my dad played. Have you seen The Ring?
The movie The Ring?
Yeah.
No, but I know it's about that little girl that comes up to the TV.
Yeah,
right?
He played that while we're in a campsite. Oh, dude. So me and my sisters, because he had it plugged in the actual tent. We slept in the car. Me and my sisters.
Oh wow.
Yeah, it was scary, dude.
Oh, now I have like a little mini projector, bro. I got like a little power strip for the car.
No, dude. We'd have those little, you know, little portable TVs.
Yeah.
He would bring it. He just plugged in the DVD into the TV and had it playing in our tent. I'm like, what the fuck, dude? Get the fuck out of here.
At least it wasn't like Friday the 13th or something.
Yeah. No, this is a small.
I'd be fucked up.
I was like, dude, this guy.
No, yeah, no, you go camping, man. People get creative, bro. They'll freaking put up a whole projector screen. Like, I mean, we have all that. You know, we haven't used it, but we gotta go camping, bro. Now that I know you like camping.
Yeah, I like it. Betty says she would be
fuck down it, bro. To try. We'll leave the wives behind, bro. Fuck it, we don't need them.
Well, that's the thing. That's what I was gonna say. We don't even need them to go. Just bring. Just take the kids.
Boys, yeah.
Take the kids. Like, hey, boys are going on a camping trip.
Oh. Yeah, I remember one of my brother's dads. He's the one that got me into camping because one day, I do recall one day we went to, this back in like 92, 93 maybe, and we went camping.
Was it important yet?
Yeah. We went camping somewhere in like it was nice. They had a lake. You can go in that lake, but he got me into camping, bro, and I love camping, bro.
You know what I like to actually fish on is creeks.
Creeks?
I would fish a lot more on like creeks. Not like fly fishing, but like, I would fish more there because the places that we would go to, and like, because we did a lot of camping in Lake Tahoe mainly. So that, I don't know if that's, and also like Red's Meadows.
There's this campground, camping area, lake and everything. It's only 5 hours away. I'm thinking about it. It's in Utah.
What is it called?
I don't know. It's in Utah.
There's this place called Red's Meadows. It's around that, and that was really beautiful.
Yeah.
Great spot. Good, like, hiking trails. They got fishing. You know, it was a good spot. I like.
I don't feel a 5-hour drive is bad.
That's nothing. I drive 17 hours to go to Washington almost every year. Driving is not an issue.
I drove to Texas 3 times, bro. 5-hour drive to this campground. Shot down.
That's the thing too. We wouldn't camp in like Big Bear or like, you know. Yeah. These local spots. We'd always, like I said, we'd always go to Lake Tahoe, which is like a 7-hour drive.
Yeah.
So like it wasn't, all the things we did weren't really that local. It was always like, okay, no, it's going to be a little bit of a hike. We're going to go like drive six, seven hours to Lake Tahoe. Oh, shit. You know, so, but those are better spots, you know.
Yeah. I mean, we'll still go to Lake Casitas, which is like 2 hours from here.
I haven't even been there.
It's Ventura County.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. You can take the 126 to the 101 and then the 33. Boom.
I wonder if my parents did, because I'm thinking about that now. I wonder if my dad did that. He used to go because the neighbors would go there.
Mm-hmm.
So I wonder if they would go because it wasn't local to LA. So maybe it wasn't as populated. Because when we went, it looked like it was just us half the time. And on weekends, sometimes like the weekday. Obviously, there'd be some other people scattered throughout, but like I never felt like people were like, oh man, you have to go early because then you can't find a camp spot.
Yeah.
I'm like, when I was growing up, like, we've never had that issue. And we, like, for 10 years in a row, we'd go like, at least a few times a year, never had that issue.
I actually want to camp at Big Bear because during summer, it's like 80s over there because they have all the trees covering the campground, the campsites. So I was like,
I wonder how like how packed it gets because it's so close to us. Because I don't know. I've obviously been to Big Bear, but I've never camped in Big Bear, if that makes sense. I've only been in cabins in
Big Bear. There was this one guy on TikTok the other day. Guess where I'm at? And he's like kind of showing his backgrounds and people are like commenting and shit. I'm like, the fuck? That's Big Bear.
Yeah.
That's where the boys and I went this last time and freaking on the snow. That's Big Bear. Nice. I know where you're at, fucker.
Yeah.
Can't fool me, bro. But, well, I mean, it sucks that you had a kid, bro. Because I don't have you at the house as often, you know?
Yeah, everything's more planned now, I would say.
No, of course.
That's the biggest change.
Like, right now, the wife's like, well, the boys are gone. You want to go to Ricky's? I'm like, podcast. I'm taking it with me. Yeah. Nah, they need girl times. We need guys times. That's the one thing that the wife and I have discussed recently, that it's about, you know, I heard on a radio that the guys need to hang out with guys.
100%.
It's like a stress reliever.
100%.
You know, last Friday night, was it like a week ago, I was hanging out with Roger. He put a little fire at his, you know, right there in his front yard, and we just chilled there, bro.
Yeah.
You know, he was drinking his beers. I was fucking making fun of him for drinking beer.
Yeah. But, no, you know, it's one of those things where, like, guys need their guy time, girls need their girl time. Because you can drop your guard, whether you're with family, whether you're with friends. It's definitely different, you know. It's definitely way different that, you know, even though, yeah, I can be myself and, you know, everything with I feel comfortable with doing shit with Betty. It's just different when it's with your guys. The bond is completely different, and that's 100% healthy, you know. And definitely, like that, like they said in the radio you're talking about, that it's crucial. You know, and Betty noticed that one time because she went back to work, and I'm still out right now, and I was with the baby. And again, not that the baby was necessarily being fussy. You know, she has her moments. She's not really a fussy baby, but, you know, she still has her moments where she kind of cries a little bit. She kind of, you know, wants a little bit more attention here and there, and it's just me. That I was getting a little bit of cabin fever. She was like, she's like, do you need to go with your boys to go golf? I'm like, yeah, but I can't because of my injury. I can't. Like, trust me, I would have been like, hey, I'm fucking gone tomorrow.
Deuces.
Late, it's on you. Like, yeah, but I can't.
Yeah.
You know, I'm stuck here. I can only do a little bull crap that I, you know, just around here. I can't go, you know? So I was like, yeah, don't get me wrong. Yes, I do want to. It's just that I can't. So, but she understood that too.
No, yeah, I was invited to obviously a Super Bowl party, and it's with her cousins and stuff. And she's like, that same day, she was like, but it's the day of my father's birthday, and I'm like, but technically his birthday's not until, you know, the 13th. Super Bowl's on the 11th. I mean, and I told her straight up. We talked for like 4 hours the other day, and I'm sorry, but I have fun with your cousins. Like, we. It's one of those, like, they ask you how you're doing, you know, how you've been, how's your podcast, how's this, how's that, how's the beer sales, stuff like that. So I have, when we hang out with all the cousins, it's multiple points of interruptions, multiple points of, you know, like the day that I went to your baby shower, you know, your friend was curious about my podcast. I've never met him before, and say, hey, the podcast and blah, 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 which we need to get him on here, bro.
Yeah, Hector, you know, he has a lot of good stories.
But so I, you know, I talked to the wife and I told her sometimes, I'm like, you know what, I think I want to go to that because I need to hang out with the guys. I, you know, and this family, the women overpower us, bro.
Oh, 100%, yeah.
The women overpower us, so it's like I would rather want to go hang out with your cousins, you know, and freaking watch the game because I actually enjoy the game. I mean, we here at the in-laws' house, that nobody really watches it,
including myself.
I'm the only one that enjoys it, dude.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, yeah, I definitely agree, you know, because that, even with family, you know, I think sometimes it's okay to take breaks from family if it's needed, you know, if you feel like you're not getting the proper interactions that you require, like you said, because you enjoy with, you know, the cousins, then I, you know, I don't think there's anything wrong with that compared to, like, You know, like when I go over there, because again, I know I'm going to have multiple interactions and I'm going to be able to start conversations and, you know, find different things to relate with and shit that, you know, I do like going for that reason, you know, but again, yeah. I initiate them.
Right.
You know, and, you know, I find shit, you know what I mean? So to me, it's a little easier than like, I guess, for other people, you know, because again, there's a few people in the family that kind of have similar things that are going on.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it's just like someone said, you know, they don't care. They just brush it on the rug. They don't care. It doesn't, to them, it doesn't bug them because they're like, they don't give a shit. You know, or maybe because they have other family that they can turn to as well because they're close to their family, you know, that live nearby.
Yeah.
You know, but when you don't really have that disposable at your fingers and this is the only thing that you're going to, it's, you know, it gets kind of old after a bit, and I get it.
Yeah, Nick is kind of going through that same thing because he I think that's what he said, fishing just us, because he goes to school, he sees JoJo. He comes home, he sees JoJo.
Oh, so when he said fishing, he meant just you and
me. Oh, yeah, I think he just meant us too.
Oh, yeah. Shit, yeah.
And he, you know, he goes to bed, and JoJo's in the other bed, you know what I mean?
He turns over right there.
Ah, he's right there. Damn, yeah, it. Yeah. So maybe this whole having the kids at 6 months apart, 18 months apart was a bad idea?
No, but that's why I say, you know, I think it's just as long as, but no, I see its benefits for sure. I just think, like I mentioned earlier, it's just finding that you things between you and JoJo and you and Nick.
Yeah.
That, oh, this is our thing. You know, like, for instance, currently, oh, you and JoJo right now is breastfeeding. Oh, that's our thing.
Yeah.
You know, it's just finding just that thing with Nick right now, you know?
Yeah. So I need, you know, I mean, shit, me being married for fucking, we just celebrated our 9th wedding anniversary.
Oh, that's right. Congrats on the
Was it four days ago, 5 days ago?
Yes.
And it's like, you know, out here, man, it's only like you, and I mean you, that I hang out with, but you've been busy. Roger's been busy. And I think lately just being at home is like,
It's that cabin fever.
I need to get out. And then when her uncle said, hey, you want to come watch the Super Bowl? I'm like, oh, fuck yeah. I didn't even think about it. I didn't even fucking ask permission. Let's go. And it's just like, you know, like I said, hanging out with the guys, man, just fucking. Like, I feel like sometimes, like, you can't really be yourself around family, you know, like.
No, of course not.
And then, you know, sometimes you can be, like, yesterday, for example, last night, we were, her uncle called her. We were at church. And her uncle called her, and she was like, hey, we made something to eat. We're right here down the street. If you want to come over, bring your family over. We went over there, and we were inviting everybody. Hey, you know, Julian's party's going to be next Saturday. You guys are welcome to come over. And, oh, yeah, what do you like? And PS5. And he was he really wants a PS5.
Yeah, yeah.
And then the wife's like checking me, man. Like, they know I'm being funny, bro. Like, yeah, the guys know I'm not gonna expect them to get him a PS5. Honestly, I don't even want a fucking PS5.
Bro. Yeah, yeah.
I'm fine with my PS4. And as long as that WWE 2K24 comes out PS4, I'm good.
Yeah, yeah.
And what do you call it? And I'm just joking around. And so I sometimes like. I had to tell her, babe, I'm just joking, babe. I'm just joking. It's just a joke, you know?
Yeah.
But no, it's like I feel like I can be like a different person that I'm not, you know, I don't know. It's different, bro. Like I said, I talked to the wife for like 4 hours and it's like, hey, I need my time. I need me time. I need to.
Important.
Yeah, you know, like if you guys are going to go hang out with your family, you know, with the family for the day, then. You know, let me invite Roger to come over, and we'll just grill and turn on the freaking
the
music, and, whatever. Yeah. Or if there's a game on or something, set it up or whatever. And or just let me sit here.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, on last Sunday, they took off the day. They went to church, and we whacked the backyard. I was done in an hour, bro. You see how big that backyard is?
Yeah, yeah.
It's done in an hour. The rest of the day, bro, I just sat on my sofa in my chonies and my tank top and fucking watched TV. They was watching what the game, football game.
Yeah.
The last two football games.
Well, I thought I got to take a piss, dude.
Nah, we can't be doing this shit, bro. Nah, man. We got like 12 more minutes, bro.
Let me take a piss real quick.
I can't talk for 12 minutes by myself, bro. This guy sucks.
Being like halfway in.
Yeah,
like,
and we're back.
Yeah.
God, this guy doesn't know how to hold his liquor.
You know what? So I was actually thinking, like, I shouldn't be drinking this stuff right now. But I was like, dude, I'm just because I'm partially sick. I was like, I want to keep my throat hydrated.
You're sick, so and you tell me now, bro.
I didn't want to be coughing all over, so I was like, let me just keep drinking this fucking shit.
No worries. The beautiful thing about the pause button, right?
Yeah.
Well, while you were taking a piss, I thought about something. Maybe changing the topic here. Don't want to get into it about clotheslining anybody. let's see here. So, you know, I get my cheeseman from a page on Facebook, and I thought about this one because we do. This family does have a shitload of group chats, and like I was telling you earlier, when I text, when I see a funny meme on Facebook, it's easy to just hit share and send it to your buddies, right? Mm-hmm. Sometimes I'll send them to you, bro, and I kind of dare you to freaking share it to the family group text. And even you're like, ah, I don't think they're that funny. I don't think they're sense humor, of humor, the humor, humor. You know, because it was a funny one. It was a picture of it was a rosary, right? Yeah. And the Jesus was kind of like flying off the cross.
He was like
hanging on for dear life. And it says something about when Jesus knows you're driving too fast or something like that.
Yeah, how Catholics know when they're driving too fast.
Oh, exactly. So I was like, hey, share this to the family, bro. I dare you. I'm over here egging them on because I won't do it. And so the beautiful thing about these new, you know, smartphones is you can give each group chat a name. Mm-hmm. So I have, you know, I call the group chat with the family, with everybody under the last name. And then I have the Martinez family. And, you know, with you guys, like I call whatever your guys is, the dirty ass cops, you know?
Yeah.
And then my guys at the Allied, the eternally fucked, right?
Yeah.
So that's what we call ourselves in that chat. So I came across this dilemma, and I was like, fuck it, let's see if Ricky has ever done something like this, and what would you do? It says, I have a dilemma that caused some family drama. Already starting off good. I accidentally sent a message to the wrong group chat. We have a group text with the side of the family and the other side with the husband's family. In the message that I thought was sending to my side of the family, I sent to his. So she sent the group text to his side of the family instead of she wanted to send it to her side of the family. I was talking bad about my mother-in-law about her inputs about the upcoming family trip they were planning. I used her name and said that she was stressful and frustrating and said some other bad things. My sister-in-law immediately came to her defense and started calling me names and threatened to beat me up. My husband's family is very ghetto, and I'm scared that they're going to hurt me. I've been avoiding them since it happened, and things haven't been right with my husband. I tried to talk to my husband about me being scared of his sisters, and all he would say was, "You shouldn't have been talking shit."
Yeah.
I mean, fuck. I tried to listen, and let's see, where was I? And then I talked to my family, and they're pretty much, my family's telling her, her family's telling her to leave the marriage. And the issue is that her husband's family, can she fix this family's fixable? Is her family fixable? Or is my family, right? Like, so can she fix this with his family? Or is her family right by saying deuces to the marriage?
Well, there's a lot of, it's more complex than that, right? Like, so it needs to be like, okay, one, what was the relationship already prior to? Is she one that's just kind of typically quiet? Is she one that usually voices her opinion and they know that she typically does that? So one, there's that, right? And then two, it's the relationship already that they have. Is she already not liked, you know, in that family? And because she calls them ghetto already, that, you know, does she come off as, what's the word, like stuck up, you know what I mean? Because she's calling them ghetto. So what do you think, you're higher class than them? So you know what I mean? So there's a lot going on. But just to make it simple, I definitely do think it's salvageable. You know, do I think things are going to be amazing, you know, regardless of, you know, use the perfect words and, you know, the apologies and everything? No, there's going to still always be like, yeah, well, you said, because again, she just said in some other hurtful things, bad things. We don't know what those things are for her, the parents, or for her sisters or sister-in-laws to get, you know, defensive like that.
Yeah.
So, you know, when it comes to leaving the marriage, I would say this. The issues you have with someone else's, with your spouse's siblings or parents, yes, like they all say, you know, oh, when you get married, you know, you don't marry the person, you marry the family. I don't always necessarily believe that, because I think to an extent you can always put two to aside, you know? I think the husband did a good job of just being like, hey, you know what? I'm not really taking sides, but, you know.
Yeah.
How do you want me to, how do you want you to fix your fuck up?
Yeah.
You know, that's your fuck up, you know. Just don't open your mouth.
Like my advice, like the whole, you know, should I leave the marriage bullshit? I was like, the way I see it right now, his siblings are probably like, hey, we want to beat her ass up.
Hell yeah.
And he's probably saying, hey, that's still my wife, mm-hmm. right?
Mm-hmm.
If she were to divorce him, it's green light.
Yeah.
It's a green light, bro, because now she's not, he's not going to be stopping him from doing anything. He might kind of like, because he might still love her, but at the same time, it's like, oh, mm-hmm. they're not going to give a shit. You know, she's yeah. no longer family. And, you know, like I said, with me, man, when I'm sending a group text, or anything, I try to be very cautious. Yep. You know, I try to be very, like I said, I change the group chats. Everyone has a name. If there's multiple, even at work, we have a group chat for just us salesmen. Then we have a group chat with all management and every salesman. Then we have a group chat with the supervisor and his team, and then so on and so on.
Yeah.
So we, and the beautiful thing about, like I said, smartphones nowadays, everything can be named. Every group chat has a title or a name or whatever. And, is being, not that we say anything bad on our work phones, obviously, and on our work phones, but it's very cautious. You are still very cautious on what chat, because we can be venting about management on the, you know, just a salesman, and we might not even pay attention. Kind of like in the same scenario that happened to this lady. You know, she sent a group text. She was venting about someone. I think where she crossed the line is where we go back to what we've said in the past. Painting the picture.
Mm-hmm.
So I've said it, you know, I recently said to someone, if I vent to Ricky, let's say about the family, Ricky's in the family. If I were to vent to my brother about the family, he's going to take my side. So
yeah.
She's over here painting the picture of her mother-in-law to her family on how ghetto her mother-in-law is, or whatever bad words she used.
Mm-hmm.
Guess what? Her family is going to take that into consideration. Let's go back to me, for example. 2 years, an individual didn't speak to me. For 2 whole years,
mm-hmm.
the wife and I already had said I do, and person still didn't speak to me. When she finally did, she did say, it was the picture, it was the painting that was, you know, painted of you.
Yeah.
The picture that was painted of you. I'm like, the fuck, man? Who the fuck was talking shit about me? Woman?
Yeah, I'm gonna
talk to my, after this podcast, I'm talking to my wife, bro. Fuck. So she's painting the bad picture of her mother-in-law
mm-hmm.
to her family, and in her family, it's gonna be awkward, man. It's gonna be awkward. It's like, for example, like my wife. She doesn't like going to a certain person's house when certain people are there.
Yeah.
Because of the same thing, same the way people's painting of them. You know, like if they would tell me that, you know, Ricky was a piece of shit, bro, you know what? Shit, I'd be, you know, probably be weird around you too, man.
Yeah.
You know, like, fuck, you know. Nobody really likes them. I think with me, nobody really likes talking. I don't really like anybody talking behind my back. And that, I probably would have taken that personal too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that text message. Is she bad-mouthing her mother-in-law? That's not bueno, dude. There's a difference between venting and then talking shit, bro.
Like, well, that I actually would almost prefer, like I say, you know. Like, you talk behind my back, like, that's one thing, but if you send a text because there's an issue that you and I have, whether it's a text, calling, meeting in person, you know, I may not be happy with what you're saying, you know, and it may anger and frustrate me, and I may want to punch them in the face. But at the end of the day, I respect that they at least respected me enough to be like, you know, I'm going to tell you to your face that you're a piece of shit.
Yeah.
Then, you know, just talk behind your back and then, like, act a certain way in front of you. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, I think that just opened up an opportunity for her to be like, look, these are the issues that I have.
Yeah.
I mean, at this point, like, look, you're already in the shit.
Yeah.
You're in it. So, you might as well, you know, make the best that you can of it. And be like, look, these are the issues that I have, and these are the reasons why.
At this point, man, to save the marriage, I think if I was her husband, at this point, it's like, this is the shit you started. Go squash that shit.
Yeah.
Go squash that shit. By apologizing to my mother-in-law, to my mother. Oh, apologize to my mother. And or if she doesn't feel that she needs to apologize, because, you know, me, I don't have to apologize. I'm not going to apologize.
Yeah.
So even if she doesn't want to apologize, but at least kind of talk it out. Bro, you know me, bro. You've seen I'll vent to you. You know what's bothering me, and then eventually, what I tell you, hey, bro, I ended up talking to so and so.
Yeah.
And we kind of air things out.
That's
and shit.
The thing. But if someone doesn't like, you know, confrontation in that regard, then I'd be like, look, if you can't get past that, you know, that you don't want to go talk because you don't feel like you need to apologize, or you don't want to be confrontational, you want to just avoid. I can't promise you how long I can tolerate the avoidance. But you know what? I don't care. As long as to you this doesn't affect you, I don't give a shit. Because again, I believe that each is separate. I believe our marriage is separate from my family, from both sides of the family. My relationship, but you can't expect me to not change my relationship with my family, because that shit ain't gonna happen.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But if you can deal with that wholeheartedly, then suck it up. They're cool, you know? Then almost no harm, no foul. Fine, you know, whatever. I don't care. You don't have to go to shit. I don't give a shit. You know, but
you can't stop me. Wait a minute. So she started some bullshit, and now her husband probably won't force her to go to these family gatherings. Ooh, I like where this is going. I like your advice, Rick. You know, let me send out a text message right now. You know what? I hate your stinking guts.
Yeah.
You make me vomit.
Yeah. No, at the end of the day, it's just kind of how it is. If you can separate the two, instead of like, oh, well, you know, your family this, your family's like, okay, well, who did you marry and who are you dealing with? Like, yeah, I guess that's my family, but.
Let's talk about the wife right now, right? Like, the wife, she's in a position where obviously, you know, you have two individuals that are not talking to each other, right?
Yeah.
And the one thing she always says is like, you can come tell me all you want. At the end of the day, I married him.
Yeah.
You know, so obviously there's someone I'm not talking to.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, I'm sorry, but my husband comes first. So.
I wouldn't even say comes first. It's just separate.
They're
just separate.
So, you know, she, you know, he's in a way, he's not, how would I say this? He's not cutting her loose, but he's pretty much telling her, you put yourself in this situation.
Yeah, because I mean, pretty much what she's saying is like, I'm not going to choose between one or the other, because to me, you know, they're both important.
Yeah.
You know, I'm going to allow the ball to be in the courts of both to be like, hey, I can continue to move forward. I don't need y'all to be fucking best friends. You know, I it doesn't matter. You know, so it's commendable, and I think that it's a hard thing to do, you know, but if one person tries to be like, no, you got to choose sides, it's like, nah, man, then you know what? If you're having to force someone to be put in that position, it's like, no, then you fuck off then.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, that's how it would be. If Bethy was to put me in a position like that, or, like, if my sister's for example, would be like, no, Ricky, you know what? You know, you got to choose. I'd be like, well, the choice was made then. Fuck off.
If your sister comes and tells you, hey, you can't talk to that flat tire guy no more, I'm going to go whip her ass.
Yeah.
All right? No, I'm whipping her ass.
No, I mean, that's the thing. I'll be like, no, you know what? Then fuck off.
Yeah.
No, because I'm not going to do it because that's your guys' shit.
Yeah.
I'm just a middleman. You know? No.
Yeah.
Just because you feel a certain way and we're blood family, I don't mean I have to listen to what the fuck you're saying, who I can and cannot be with, and who I, you know, whatever it is, all the other excuses. I don't give a fuck.
And that's how I feel about the whole
situation.
Me going to football Sunday. Hey, man, just because the adults are beefing, that doesn't mean that us kids need to suffer.
No, yeah, no. Get out of me,
fly. Hey, you got flies in here, bro.
I do?
I don't know what that is. I'm just swinging at something.
I probably lint.
I got to swing. And this conversation is pissing me off, bro. We should probably go eat.
Yeah.
No, but Rick, thanks for letting me bring the podcast stuff to your garage,
your
little setup here, and then whatever you bought for lunch right now. And like I end every podcast, Rick, thank you for – wait, no. Yeah, no. You're still riding with me, Ron. Even though when you're in your garage, it's still me, right? Or you want to end it?
No,
you want to end
it? It's your podcast. It's your podcast.
Like I end every podcast, Rick, thank you for riding with me.
Thanks for having me, brother.
Thank you for listening to Ride With Me, the Flat Tire Indie Podcast. You can also listen to us on iTunes, Spotify, and Podbean.